Questions. I am your host, Sean. Danny, I'm triggered, man. I'm triggered.
What's going on now, you snowflake?
Danny,
you snowflake millennial?
I just can't handle the world that we live in, Danny. I just can't. No more.
You gonna end it all?
I'm gonna end it. I mean, what's the point of living? I was at the grocery store, Danny, like I was hinting a little bit before we started recording, and, you know, I'm on a mission, Danny. I got shit to do. I gotta get my stuff, and I gotta get it put away so I could record on time, which we almost recorded on time. Only, like, a 4 to 5 minute delay, so.
I mean, it's close enough.
Close enough, so I was like, alright. So I'm like, so I take my usual route, you know, grab the vegetables, I grab the pork loin, I grab some bacon, I grab a couple of other things. Like, I'm the MVP right now. Like, I check the time, I'm like flying, I'm like sweet. I am super good. So, if you don't know, in my grocery store, in front of the milk at the back of the store, is the Oreo display, Danny. So, you know, I'm getting when I grab the bacon, I look down the way, look past all the weird looking people that are in my store because I shop at that store, you know, the one that's sad. And
you live in the middle of nowhere, Ohio.
Not just the middle of nowhere, Ohio, the rough part of the middle of nowhere, Ohio. Not the super bad, just the kind of bad part.
You might not get murdered, but you might get mugged.
I haven't been mugged yet, so I think I'm okay right now.
But you could probably get drugs pretty easily.
Exactly. Yes, probably. I'm probably sure if I knock on a few of the apartments behind my house, one of them will sell me heroin.
I was gonna say not
have
just
like
the fun drugs.
70%, like, I feel like if I would put like $20, not $100. I put $20.
Nominated for an Oscar.
Wow,
right?
Fucking weeb.
I am, dude. So, I mean, I understand. So, like, to put it in perspective, the neighborhood he lives in my entire adult life of almost 43 years. I go visit him for like 3 days, and in those like 3 days, the first time I've ever just randomly had a cop knock on the door looking for somebody.
We heard there was weeb. Is he here? Danny? How did they know you were here?
Exactly. It's just like, hey man, is your neighbor around? Here or next door? Because he's not here, if that's what you're asking me.
If you're looking for somebody here, no, they're not here.
We're just going door to door looking for your neighbor. Is that cool? Never in my entire almost 43 years of life have I just had the police randomly knock on the door looking for somebody.
Pretty much. But back to the story. So I'm at the bacon. I look down, Oreo display across the way in front of the milk. I don't know why it's in the freezer area, but it is. So, Danny, I'm a responsible adult. I continue shopping like normal. I don't just run to the Oreo display. I got my MVP status to worry about. So I keep zigzagging up and dial the rows. And every time I get to closer to the fridge area, I just look and I'm like one aisle closer, and I'm getting excited because it's a new display, Danny. I shop at this store frequently. It's a new fucking display. So I'm getting closer, and I get to the Oreo display. I'm getting jazzed up. The butterfly are in my stomach. I'm super excited. The one thing I've been fucking waiting for like months, Danny, fucking months, I'm like, it's here. It's now. I get to the Oreo display.
And it's not.
I grab the first package that I see that I have not seen before. And it has yellow filling, Danny. I'm getting super fucking excited. I'm like, this is fucking it. It's here. No, the first package is the fucking spring Oreo. The fucking
yes.
Spring with yellow. Same great tasting it's yellow coloring, but same great tasting taste. No, it's the fucking boring taste that I didn't want. Where is my fucking peep Oreo? So I put it back in there. I'm a little irritated. I don't care about the three springtime displays. Fantastic.
You don't care about the different designs printed on the cookie, Sean?
No, I really don't care. It's not
the egg shape cookies.
Danny, we're not even there. You're fucking spoiling it, man. I grabbed the second damn package that I haven't seen before, Danny. And I'm getting super excited because this one's got purple. I'm like, you know what? Maybe they made it purple this year. Maybe we'll have purple or
Peeps.
Peep Oreos. See, I'm so triggered I can't even remember what I want anymore. And it's not, Danny. It's fucking egg-shaped Oreos for this year. I don't care about some fucking egg-shaped cookies. I just wanted my fucking Oreos, and now I got weird purple cream-colored Oreos this year for Easter.
They're egg-shaped.
They're egg-shaped. Danny, I don't give a shit about these eggs.
You should, Sean.
I was literally waiting. Who in the PR department fucked up? Like, who do I need to write an angry letter to? Let me grow up my hair a little bit. I'm gonna cut it. Where's your supervisor? Where's your manager? I need to speak to your manager. I'm pulling it out.
I mean, you've already shown how, like, old and out of touch you are by the fact that you said write a letter. Nobody writes letters anymore. They just fire off a few angry tweets.
Oh, I'm gonna get Twitter and send some angry tweets. Where's my fucking peep Oreos, Oreo? You had one fucking job. I thought you liked to make money. You wanted to take my money.
Nope, they don't want your money, Sean. They want everybody else's money.
But Danny, like a silly bitch, Danny, I went to the other side of the display. I grabbed the dark chocolate filling and I walked away angrily because I needed something sweet to eat to handle my triggeredness.
Yeah, I know. Chocolate seems to help with PMS symptoms.
I was so mad, Danny. I had my hopes up, man. Danny, I was playing some Destiny. I got the drop I needed, Danny, after, like, fucking weeks of grinding this stupid-ass story mission week after week after week. I finally got the fucking Sparrow that I needed. One step closer to Cursebreaker title. One small step. And I was like, today is my day. I saw the Oreo thing and I was like, fuck yes. I'm about to get some peep Oreos. And the rug got pulled out underneath me, man.
You know what though, man? I can't really talk too much shit because I know what's going to happen when the summertime comes around. They're not going to have the strawberry shortcake Oreos that I'm looking forward to. And if I talk too much shit, then I'm just going to get my well-deserved comeuppance. So I'll have some sympathy for you, Sean. That's fair.
I just, you know, and maybe I'm just hangry right now because all I've eaten today is a bagel, and I tried to go to my Taco Bell because I was a silly bitch and got distracted by Oreos, I went to my car and then forgot I needed eggs. I had to run back into the store. I couldn't eat my delicious five-layer burrito that I wanted. I was craving. So that's the world I live in, man. Just a dark. I mean, I'm so glad that it snowed today and it's nice and dark outside because it fits the atmosphere, the ambiance that I feel today.
I know this is an older movie, Sean, but have you ever seen Ernest Goes to Camp?
No, I don't think I have.
There's a scene in there when like everyone's like mean to him. It's like the low point of the movie, and he's sitting in his summer camp cabin, and it starts like a thunderstorm comes, and he starts singing the song about how he's glad that it's raining because no one can see the teardrops run down your cheek when it's raining outside. Is that you, Sean? No one can see. Like they're just like, oh no, it's just a little bit of snow that got on my face. It's melting. It's good. I'm not crying. You're crying. Shut up.
Exactly. It was just the betrayal.
So I heard a story, Sean, that might amuse you.
Okay, hopefully
this will lighten the mood.
Yeah, hopefully.
So this happened in Wichita Falls, Kansas. They evacuated a Home Depot store because some guy made a bomb threat.
Oh boy.
So they evacuated the store, brought in the police, and when the guy like was being interrogated, they found out that he did not in fact make a bomb threat, but was giving a joking heads up that maybe people in the bathroom might want to clear it out because he was about to blow that place up.
I feel like I know where this is going.
So yeah, no, I mean that was his like his apparently like threatening to blow up, letting people know that you're going to blow up the bathroom. People don't understand context in Kansas, and so they evacuated the store and phoned in a bomb threat.
Jeez.
Yes. That's so terrible. Maybe choose your words wisely. Especially at least it didn't happen at the airport. He might have been shot.
Probably. I'm just surprised that they sold more than just regular Oreos at the airport, though.
Why are you talking about Oreos, Sean? I'm talking about pooping.
Oh, that's fair, too. I don't know why I linked the stories together, but I did.
No, it was just a story to lighten your heart, because I know you you love your Home Depot and poop stories.
I think you like poop stories.
Doesn't everybody?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
We'll see. So I poured myself a beer to record, Sean.
You poured yourself a beer?
Yes. I poured myself a beer, and I was pouring it. It just seemed off. Like, the foamed up a little too much. And I did that old school, that trick where you stick your finger in the foam to help it go down. And I tasted it, and it just tasted like metal.
Ooh, that's terrible. That's not how beer is supposed to taste like, if you didn't know.
No, it's not. And actually, like, I learned a little life pro tip about that. Like, if you get a little bit of the beer on your finger and rub it, like, on, like, the back of your hand or whatever and smell it, if there's metal in the beer, like, the oils in your skin or whatever will bring that smell out. And you can, you know, yes.
Is that why you put your balls in the beer?
No, I just do that for funsies.
Claim ownership?
Yes.
Sometimes cold beer is just really refreshing, more ways than one.
On a hot day, yeah, man. nothing cleans out the swamp like a cold beer to the balls.
I don't think that's how you drink beer. Shut up.
Shut up. Well, you should see my wife's face. She's like, is this supposed to be salty? But, yeah, so... And then I looked at the bottom of the can, and, you know, it was a stout, pretty hefty 12% stout, but it was canned on January 11th of 2018.
That was quite a bit ago.
Yes. So then I had to pour myself a backup beer, which actually was released last year. Like, it was not last year, but in 2017. It was a 2017 released from Epic Brewing.
Okay.
It's an imperial stout with Mexican coffee, cocoa nibs, vanilla and cinnamon flavor, aged in whiskey barrels.
That sounds like the Stone one, too. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, Bottle Logic has one called Leche Barracho that's kind of similar. That's like the cinnamon and the coffee seems to be a flavor that a lot of breweries go into. But it's funny because it's brewed by Epic Brewing that started in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had to open a second location in Denver so they could make beers that actually have alcohol in it.
That is a trouble with opening up in those conservative states. Sometimes they just don't want you to brew your own beer.
Yes. I mean, if you're the alcohol in your beer can't be higher than the amount of kids in your family. So like six.
Is that why they have all those kids? So that way they could brew high percent alcohols?
Something like that, yes. I have 17 kids. We're getting wasted.
Oh, that's funny.
But this is a 12%. Nice. And it's quite tasty.
Nice. I also opened up a bottle, Danny, since I was getting yelled at for not drinking during the show by somebody.
You have to stay on brand, bro.
It is also an Imperial Stout brewed with chocolate and coffee. Aged in maple syrup bourbon barrels, it is the 2017 CBS by Founders.
Oh, so you have the label before they got sued.
Yes. So I actually have a 2018 bottle as well. So I figured I drink the 2017 first.
Yes, I didn't get the 2018. I'm like, why am I going to support a company that bows to some lame Canadian police force? And if you don't know what we're talking about, so the Canadian Breakfast Stout had a Mountie on a horse. And then they were hit up, the brewery was hit up by the Mounties, and it's like, yeah, dude, we can't have you putting our uniform on your bottle. So they just basically kept the same label with the horse in its, like, reared up position, but they just photoshopped the Mountie off of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very weird now, like, the horse is, like on its back legs, like, doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's weird, but it is pretty funny that the story of, like, yeah, just take the Mountie off. We're good. Don't worry about even changing the horse. We don't have that kind of money.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of sucks that they changed it. I mean, I don't think it's very offensive at all. It's literally just, like, a guy on a horse, like...
Well, it wasn't about it being offensive. It was the Mounties were, Mounties were upset that they were using their likeness without their permission. It's a copyright issue. Not a triggered issue.
That's fair.
The Mounties aren't liberal snowflakes like you are. Millennial liberal snowflakes like you are.
Just want my goddamn cookies, Danny.
So, over the weekend, I got a phone call from one of my wife's friend's husband, and I guess they were going to be in town. They moved to Colorado, and so they're going to be up in Burbank and wanted to know if we wanted to meet up and have breakfast with them.
Canadian breakfast out?
No, actual breakfast food. So this is the kind of shit you do for your wife. I drove all the way to Burbank to meet up for breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning at a Bob's Big Boy.
Oh man!
And I was like, do they even serve breakfast at Bob's Big Boy?
They probably do.
They do. They do. I mean, is it good?
Eh.
No, but it's served. But so while I was out there, I told my wife, well, since we're out here, I want to hit up a couple spots there in Burbank so it's not a wasted trip.
Oh, because, you know, hanging out with friends is a wasted trip, Daniel.
Well, eating Bob's breakfast at Bob's Big Boy is a wasted trip.
Did they, like, really want to go there or something? Was there, like... I've only been there, like, twice since I've lived in Ohio, and, I mean, it was both times for dinner, but, I mean, it was, like, already, like, people were there and I got invited, so it wasn't like I had a choice to say where we should go for dinner.
Right, and this is the same thing. No, I think they wanted to go there just because it was, like, right around... It was, like, right by their hotel.
And it was cheap,
so they could just walk there.
Yeah.
Nah, not really, but... Whatever. So then, while we're out there, there's a brewery that I've been wanting to check out, Trustworthy Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard they talked about, they had the head brewer on a couple episodes of a podcast I listened to called The Four Brewers. Seemed like a pretty good guy. They all liked his beer, so I went up there, gave it a shot. Had one of their barrel-aged imperial stouts. I had a barrel-aged brown ale with sour cherries. I had a sour... It was all pretty good. I had like one full pour, and then I had a couple tasters. It was all pretty good beer. I don't know if I'd necessarily drive all the way out to Burbank for a brewery, but I was glad I tried it. But then, on the way home, in Alhambra, and this place, man, like next time you're out here, we're gonna have to go. There's a burger place in Alhambra called Grill 'Em All.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a play on Metallica's Kill 'Em All.
Nice.
Yes, and so you go in there and it's like they have like metal playing over the speakers, but then they also do some like collab type stuff or whatever with independent wrestlers.
Okay.
And so they have a burger of the month, and so like 1 month it was these this three-man tag team called SoCal Uncensored, and so they had a special burger for them. And so this month was the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes burger. And he, so like it was like a bacon, jalapeno bacon jam, and this aioli, and the field greens, which I don't even know what field greens are, but it was probably the best burger I've ever had in my entire life.
That good, huh?
I mean, it's worth driving an hour to Alhambra for a burger, yes, I would say.
Fair enough.
And they had some pretty decent beer on tap. I tried the Stone Brewing's collab they did with Metallica, Pilsner. I mean, it was good. It was a Pilsner, but – and it went with – I mean, I don't know, like – it's one of those beers where it's not like, you know, even unless it's bad, it's good, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just imagine the collab go, hey, here's a couple Pilsners we brewed, or here's some flavor profiles we're thinking. Which one do you like best? All right, now get out of here so we can start brewing.
Right. So, like, now, you know, it's funny because pretty much most of the members of Metallica are recovering alcoholics, and now they have a whiskey branded after them and a beer.
Oh man,
that's funny. But yeah. So and then my wife, she got one. It was like fancy. It was like came with a brie cheese and like apples on a hamburger.
Oh wow,
that was surprising. Like I thought it would be like too sweet. Like mm-hmm. when she gave me a bite of it. Oh man, so good. The French fries were good. It was like one of those places where like it was kind of small and it was popular. So and it was cold outside, so everyone wanted to sit inside. So you know, you stand in line, you order. And then you hope to get a table.
Oh man, no, I imagine that's that sucks though that it's not like guaranteed seating. You have to like hope. Were you like ready to like commit to sitting in the car if your food came up?
Well, we could have sat outside. There's outside seating that like tables out there, but as we were going to sit down, a table opened up, and then a couple seats at the bar they have opened up. Mm-hmm. And so I gave my wife the choice, and we sat at the bar, and almost immediately after we sat at the bar, somebody sat at the other table, and she's like, I immediately regret my decision. So luckily, I was like, well, I let you pick. And she's like, I know, but I didn't think of it. And I'm like, all right, well, and then luckily a table opened up behind us, so we were able to grab that. But there were people that were just like having one person stand in line order, and then they went and grabbed a table.
Kind of like the old In-N-Out method.
Yes, the douchebag method. And then when we sat down, there was six, like a bunch of people left. So there was like six open seats at the bar. So we sat down and they asked us to move down and we did. And then there was these two guys sat down and of course they sat like there was four seats open and they sat in the middle too.
What a bunch of douches. After they asked you to scoot over?
Well, yeah, they even asked them to scoot down, and they're just like, yeah, whatever. So they sat there, so there was an empty seat next to Jody, and then they had an empty seat on the other side of them. But jeez. Yes. So, and it was like after we moved, well, I mean, right before we moved, somebody came over and like they told them again to move so that other people could sit there. But I would have done the power move because I've done that before with a friend at a brewery. There was like four seats. And two guys were sitting in the middle too, so we just sat on each side of them.
And they moved.
They finished up. They seemed to finish up rather quickly, but yes, they moved.
Did you just start yelling across over them?
Yes. Power move. It was either that or we pee on them.
Oh, that's pretty funny. I never. that's pretty solid. I give you that,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, if I was with my wife, I probably wouldn't have done that, but, you know, if I'm with somebody that I know that's not going to, like, back down,
yeah.
If they get upset, then, yeah, let's do it. And so, we did it. It was fun. And, you know, like, there's that subreddit that happened where it's like, and then everybody clapped, and the bartender was really Albert Einstein.
And they gave you free beers for the rest of the night.
Yeah, everyone bought us beers and told us how proud of us they were.
And then the U.S. won World War II.
Exactly. We changed the course of history. Oh, man. But finally, you know, I told you, we talked about it a couple, like last month, I went to go see Sean Lennon and Les Claypool in concert.
Yes.
So finally, on Friday, February 22nd, they've released the album that they were on tour to support.
Got you. So which, you got an 8-track?
I wish. Actually, when we were in in Burbank, we kind of walked around this one little like thrift store district, and they had one of them had a couple stereos that had 8-tracks on there, and they had 8-tracks to buy.
Oh man,
old people stuff, man.
You can't be that hip.
No, they had cassettes and 8-tracks. Super hipster store. But man, like, yeah, I don't understand, dude. I just kind of find it annoying when a band's like, oh yeah, by the way, we got a new album coming out in a month or two. Here's a song that nobody knows, but we're going to play it anyways.
Listen to this new stuff. Yeah!
As opposed to, hey, everybody, if you've been listening to the new album for the last couple weeks, here's one of the songs off of it that you all know by now. But nah, man, like, the new album, I like it a lot better than their first album. Like, they really kicked into full mode of the jam band.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's really good. The beat, they sound more crisp, like they've been playing together for, you know, two full albums as opposed to just kind of getting together and making an album.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it went from being just like a little fun side project to a band that Les is committed to.
Gotcha.
Which is what happened with like Maynard James Keenan and like all of his other bands, like Perfect Circle and Pussifer.
Yeah. Nice.
But then last week was also Steve Irwin's birthday, Sean.
It was. There was a great Google posting. Google had changed their art to honor Steve, and there was definitely lots of memes about how Steve was a cool guy and whatnot.
Well, apparently not everybody agreed about how great of a guy Steve Irwin was.
Oh, the internet got very angry over the past week.
And justifiably so, at like a garbage organization. So PETA basically started attacking, they went after Google, and they basically was like sending all these anti-Steve Irwin tweets, to which people replied, you know, look, you know, Steve Irwin doesn't have an 80% kill rate, you know, Steve Irwin isn't a giant douche like you guys are.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. I mean, I think almost all sorts, I think Reddit was full of it. I mean, they were like, it was like a mission. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without people talking trash on PETA. And even in the comments, man, like, you know, they were trying to explain, like, you know, the difference between PETA and like a true, I'm going to mess up the word,
an animal rights organization?
Yeah.
Let's put it.
Yeah. Basically, like, you know, like what Steve was doing, like educating and
conservationist?
Yes, that is the word. You know, establishing true goals of, you know, understanding and creating, like, idea. Like, they were saying, like, there's sometimes, like, yes, you have to, like, intervene a little bit, but, you know, you think of all the wild animals that are endangered that get special treatment now, like medication, so they could keep going. I think there was an article saying like how, you know, they were tracking this migration, but they didn't know like where they went, and you know, so they put trackers on them, and so what they were able to do is they were able to track, you know, when the winter comes, like how they migrate, so they could protect that route, so that way that'll always be safe. But they never knew where they were migrating to, you know, these deer until they were able to track them. And you got, you know, there's some very good things that happen. So, you know, just to go out and just like say these nasty things about somebody, like, is a little bit extreme.
Right. And then, I mean, to their point, like, you know, again, there's occasionally a nugget of truth, even in the most wrong statement. And they talked about how, you know, he would go and antagonize animals that weren't doing anything. And I guess he would, like, go and, like, pick them up and grab them and stuff. But he was educating, you know, trying to get people that may not know anything about an animal to care about why this animal shouldn't be wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, I think, you know, people generally shouldn't go after wild animals or anything. But, yeah, I mean, to better understand, like, that's going to happen. But, I mean, I think as, you know, as long as the animal's not being hurt at the end of the day, you know, or getting used to human contact, it's fine. Like, there's going to be some cases that needs to happen.
Right. And again, you know, like, if you can, you know, I guess annoy one animal for 5 or 10 minutes to educate the uneducated, that's why they need to care, or what's going on with that, why to avoid an animal if it's poisonous or whatever, to see it's, you know, it's a, it's signs that it's aggressiveness, if it's going to attack you or not. Like, if an animal's doing this, then just don't worry about it. But if it's doing this, then maybe you might want to get away, because it's probably going to attack you.
Yeah, and he also did a lot of rescue, like, at poorly developed zoos. I think, like, I remember when growing up, there was an episode where he helped, like, a zoo build a better enclosure for a crocodile, and they, like, pulled him out of, you know, this concrete dungeon and gave him, like, a much better habitat to live in, you know? And so it's not always, he didn't always just go after, you know, wild animals. He helped promote education and helped animals overall be better, and especially those that were in captivity.
Right. And PETA's answer to that is, you know, they're known to go up in people's property and grab dogs off their front porch and euthanize it, because according to PETA, a dog would rather be dead than be somebody's pet.
Yeah, that's a bit rough.
Yeah, and then I saw... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I don't think my cat could live out in the wild. Like, I'm just saying. I mean, he's...
Or pretty, your dog.
Yeah, he's pretty fat. Like, you know, I don't... He likes napping all day. I don't think he... There was a mouse in the house. No pun intended. But anyway, moral of the story, fucking useless cat. Didn't help me at all, like, remove the mouse from the premises.
So, did it run away?
No, I captured it in, like, Tupperware and took it out behind my garage where, like, this, like, little forest area is, and I put him back over there. But yeah, my cat did nothing. He just was kind of like looking around, and then he like saw the mouse and like was just kind of like, do you want me to run? Like, he was asking, like, I think he was like, I don't know if he wanted motivation or he needed like a step-by-step book on how a cat is supposed to live.
Right. So
I just really don't think like this cat would survive in the wild.
he was looking at you like, all right, we see, you know what, we both know what you want me to do. How much are you going to pay me? I saw, but on the side note, I saw a tweet on Reddit. Somebody, it was on the Black People Twitter, and you know, there was a picture of a younger white girl with a tarantula like on her like chest. And reading the tweet, it was like, oh man, I was about to like call out white people for doing stupid shit, and then I saw her name and everything, and it's like, all right, cool, do your thing, be safe. And it was Bindi Irwin. It's like stupid white people playing with. Oh no, never mind, it's Bindi Irwin. That's good. Yeah, yeah. Just be safe. Oh, but yeah, so.
Exactly.
I mean, he's up there like, it's like basically like, as you know, in this day and age, all of our heroes are, you know, find out that they're probably scummy assholes. You know, looking at you, Bill Cosby. And R. Kelly.
Yeah, there's definitely more people to hate in the world than Steve Irwin.
Well, I was going to say, like, real quick, you know, so R. Kelly finally got arrested over the weekend. Yeah. And he couldn't afford to post bail.
Oh, boy.
But, but like, I guess like the holy trinity of so far people that I hope always stay pure in death is, you know, Steve Irwin, Mr. Rogers, and I lost his name, the happy little brushes dude, the happy little trees dude, Bob Ross.
Yeah.
So they, Bob Ross, yeah.
Yeah, the internet will go after you. Don't attack them. The internet will go after you.
Well, just hope you don't find out that they've like, you know, me too'd somebody, or they're just like assholes behind the scenes.
True.
Like Bill, like I said, like Bill Cosby. Or the other one, I guess, would be the guy that was the quote unquote villain on that kids show that Reddit went off on, Stefan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They really like him, too.
Yes.
At least Reddit does.
The voice of Reddit has spoken. So be it. So be it all. So, Sean, when you thought there couldn't be any more Battle Royal games, someone has resurrected an old-school game, Tetris, and made it a Battle Royal game.
How is the game of Tetris? Do you have to, like, play each other? Like, how does this Battle Royale, like, mingle together? This is
so basically confusing. There's – I don't know if there's, like – The only thing I'm kind of confused about is I don't know if there's 99 players or it's you and 99 because it's called Tetris 99.
Okay.
And basically you play until you're the last one standing.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, okay. I got you. So you just play the game of Tetris until everybody, like, fails out.
Right. And from the screen I've seen, you know, yours is up front and you can see all, like, the other screens of the people behind you, like in a shadow, behind, you know, behind your screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of see as people are getting eliminated.
Oh, wow. That's actually not so bad. I don't think it's like a true, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's a battle royale game, but it's not, to me, it's not a true battle royale. We don't have another shooter. So I appreciate this company or Tetris for, you know, riding the waves of popularity to hopefully making a little bit of money.
Right, that and it gives old people another e-sport to play besides Farming Simulator.
Truck Driver Simulation?
Yes. So, you know Reggie, the president of Nintendo America, Sean?
I do know him.
Well, apparently his body is ready to retire.
He can't produce any more Nintendo content. He's
no more memes.
Oh boy.
But in what has to be probably one of the funniest long cons ever, the guy that's taking his place this summer when his retirement becomes official.
Yeah.
Doug Bowser.
His last name is Bowser? That's hilarious.
Isn't it?
Wow. Did he change his name to, like, Doug Bowser? Like, I'm very confused.
No, that was his name, and Nintendo still hired him, Sean.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, that's like,
that's dedication,
you know,
right there. Like, how more Nintendo do you want to be?
Right? Well, how much, like, Nintendo villain? Like, he's not just Nintendo, but he is the villain of Nintendo, Sean.
You know what? I don't even care. Bowser's not even, like, a real villain anymore sometimes. Like, he's in Super Smash right now, trying to, like, save the universe. Like, you know, he understands, like, he's like Dr. Doom. Like, if there's no world to save, then why bother being a villain? Like, you gotta save the world.
True. On a side note, you brought it up. I listen to a podcast about esports, and they talk about Smash tournaments, and it just makes me think of Rule 34.
It's terrible phrasing.
Yes. We're going to have a Smash party. You want to come over? Wait, is video game or orgy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what kind of Smash are we talking about?
Why not both?
Yeah, exactly. Losers bottom. Tap tap, what's it called? Kirby. I think Kirby's still too OP, I guess.
Yes, I guess Zero Suit Samus is apparently OP as well.
I don't know.
But, you know, I think everybody would want to smash Zero Suit Samus.
Fair enough.
Speaking of smashing and Japan, Evo Japan, which is basically a companion event to the fighting game tournament Evo Championship.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a live stream talking about the fighting game Dead or Alive 6.
Yes.
That had to be taken off the air.
Did it?
Apparently, after all these years of Dead or Alive being Dead or Alive, they found it inappropriate.
I was reading the article, and it's pretty ridiculous, Danny.
Did you see the clip that they showed where it was like the guy was like pile drive the girl, and then like they froze framed it and started like zooming around the different bot. And it's like that was just a wrestling move. Like it wasn't even like a. I mean, if it was two guys, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But because it was a guy and a girl, I guess you could like go full 13-year-old and start giggling about it.
Oh, Danny, they went beyond 13-year-old and giggling about it. Like, I think it was just, like, literally, like, so basically, in this video clip, you know, it's like the, it's like, I forget what they call it, the sit-down powerbomb? So basically, yes. They do a powerbomb, but, like, you're, like, sitting instead of standing, because obviously, video games, and when you bounce off the floor, you go, like, 30 feet in the air, so where they could catch you. And so, like, they do, like, the guy does this slam on this girl, and her legs are up in the air. She's on her back and head, and his face is like way past the entry point on her vagina, and it's just like in there. And they freeze the frame at that point, and they're just like zooming around, like it's just like, you know. If you wanted to see this, wouldn't you just go watch porn? Like, why are you freezing this?
Right. And then they had two models basically dressed up like fighters in the game. And one of, you know, because the big thing Dead or Alive was known for was being on the forefront of jiggle physics. And those for those that don't know, basically jiggle physics is what happens, you know, basically when a woman moves. Everything jiggles a little bit. And so when you're fighting or running or whatever, things jiggle more. So any video game that has a woman or anime that has a woman walking and things move while they walk, it's all owed to the pioneer discoveries made by Dead or Alive.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's supposed to move or not. If it's moving, it's like it's because of them. Like if it's just like a casual walk, but it turns into crazy floppage going around. It's all because of them.
Yes. And so the two models, one of them was kind of, like she was standing and just started like bouncing a little bit. Not so much bouncing, but just jiggling. And the other model was like just like pointing at her boobs as she was jiggling. So, I mean, I don't know. Like either they chose poorly in demoing this game or they shouldn't have been shocked when they had to pull it off the air. Because, again, like you said, it's like showing a porn, and then it's like, oh my god, I didn't know there'd be nudity in it.
I mean, it's, I don't know, like, who they hired to do all this stuff, but they were, like, super offended. They were like, we apologize, this is not how we portray our, you know,
our game.
Our game and whatnot. It was just like, alright, like, I don't know what's
happening. Now I know you're lying. Oh man! Speaking of lying, I don't know. That is, that was the best segue I could come up with. The Academy Awards were this last weekend.
You are segueing so fucking hard right now.
the worst segue ever. Hey everybody, look over here, a segue.
Man, you'd think after like 94 episodes, we'd have this right, but you know.
Hey man, you got to learn something new every day.
I mean, you write the show, so I guess like it makes sense.
I learned an interesting fact about the Academy Awards, Sean.
That is fake?
Well, no.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Christian Bale and Amy Adams have been cast in 3 movies together.
Really?
And all 3 movies, both were nominated for Academy Awards.
Enlighten me. What movies are these?
And so they did The Fighter in 2010. Gotcha. They were both for supporting actor and actress. American Hustle for lead and lead. And then 2018 Vice. He played Dick Cheney and she was a supporting actress. And out of the 6, he won supporting actor for The Fighter.
Gotcha.
So if you want to at least get a couple of Academy Awards, get yourself a movie good enough to get Christian Bale and Amy Adams in it.
Then you'll be okay.
Which I guess that was the mistake of getting Ben Affleck to play Batman instead of having Christian Bale continue, because then Amy Adams and Christian Bale would have been together in Batman versus Superman and Justice League. Maybe they would have been nominated for Academy Awards.
Maybe. I thought Christian Bale wanted out. Didn't he want out after the trilogy?
He did, but they could have tried harder. They could have given him a bigger bink struck.
You could always try harder.
Yes, just pulled up more money, man. And they would have maybe it wouldn't have been the giant shit show that it was.
I don't know. I think there was a lot going on to cause that. I don't think Bale could have fixed it.
I don't know. Everyone's blaming Ben Affleck like it was his fault. So if it's Ben Affleck's fault, then Christian Bale should have been able to fix it. Yeah. See, now you see the ridiculousness of that statement.
I'm just fair enough. Fair enough, bro.
So the what's it called? Black Panther was nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not win that. But it won a couple of things. It won for Best Original Score. I know it won for Best Costumes.
Okay.
And I had one more. Those three. But yeah, I mean, so it won the it basically oh the Best Production Design was the other one, like for the sets.
Okay.
Which it definitely should have won for those, because those costumes were pretty badass.
Yeah, they had some. Yeah. No, I mean, it was a great set. I really liked Wakandia. It was a great, make Marvel great again.
Actually, when I go see Bar Wrestling, there's a guy there pretty much, I follow him on the Instagrams because he's pretty much at every local Southern California wrestling, independent wrestling event.
Yeah.
And he has a red hat that says, make Wakanda great again.
Fair enough.
And this was the first year since, like, 2006 or 2004 that Disney didn't win Best Animated Feature Film.
Oh, because that, of all the comic book movies?
It actually won, well, no, for animated, but Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse actually won that one.
I heard great things. I need to watch that. Man, I'm super behind on the movies.
Yeah, basically, like, my work schedule in December, like, anything that comes out during December I haven't seen yet.
Anything that happens ever, I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that's just because, I don't know, you're lazy, I guess?
You know, no, it's priorities. Like, Destiny, priority one. Girlfriend, then Destiny, number two. And then other things.
You can bring your portable player to the movie theater with your girlfriend and play Destiny while you're watching the movie.
Fair enough. I mean, I did get to watch Venom on the airplane to Vegas, so I was super ecstatic about that.
Did we talk about you watching Venom? Because I know we talked about me watching Venom.
I don't even remember if we talked about me watching Venom, but it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
It was good. I know a lot of people gave it shit because Spider-Man wasn't in it, but I mean, I guess it could have been better, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, how does a teenage boy randomly show up on the West Coast? Like, I mean, it made sense for, like, what they were trying to do. I mean, I think Eddie Brock was a little bit too adventurous from his photography scene, but that was, like, my only, like, kind of, like, I didn't like about it. Like,
right, well, he wasn't, like, a photographer, he was an investigative journalist.
Yes. He was, and, like, he was doing too much investigating for my, like, instead of being a villain. But outside of that, it was fantastic.
Right, and whatever happened on the East Coast already happened. It made him hate Spider-Man because they just kind of throw it as a throwaway line where it's like, look, you already screwed it up, you know, in Manhattan or whatever. Don't screw it up out here. So that's like a reference to whatever happened with Spider-Man and Perry White.
Clever.
Or whatever. Or is Perry White the Superman one? I always get him confused.
I think Perry White is Superman.
You're right, Perry White is Superman. As I was saying it, I realized that's Superman. But anyways, I think J.K. Simmons played both of them, so that's even more confusing.
It doesn't help.
But a lot of people thought Spike Lee's movie, because he won best a couple of direct awards for Black Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
But the winner of Best Picture was Green Book. And funnily enough, I was just flipping around Saturday, and I came across this comedy-type sketch show. That was like its first episode, and they basically were making fun of the Green Book and movies like it. mm-hmm. where it was like movies made by white people to make them feel less guilty for the things that happened in the past and to give them an excuse to say the N-word as often as they can in a movie.
Dude, that reminds me of all the freaking memes that go on that talk about like how powerful this person is because they have the N-pass. It's the most stupidest shit, man. I am like on r/dankmemes, it's like ridiculous. Like the way they like just pull this random shit from nowhere is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video. It's actually quite hilarious. It's like an improv group, and there's like a white guy and two black guys, and the video is titled "How a White Guy Can Get Away with Saying the N-Word." And so, like the white guy, when the white guy rolls up with the white guy, and one of the black guys rolls up to the other one, and the white guy is like, "Hey!" And then the black guy peeps up, turns around behind him, drops the N-bomb, and then the white guy's like, "Do you have my money? Come on, N-bomb, when are you gonna pay me my money?" But apparently lip singing for Freddie Mercury was good enough to win the Academy Award for Best Actor, even though they just cast, they're making an Elton John movie, and the guy that they cast to play Elton John is actually singing the actual songs.
You know, it is what it is, Danny. I don't know what to tell you, man. I didn't see the Freddie Mercury movie, even though I heard good things about it. But it is kind of weird that he lip synced and the whole time. But I mean, how can you have a voice like that though? Like that would have been impossible to make that movie then if they wanted sure. somebody to sing it.
And even worse than that, he had a mustache merkin. That wasn't his real mustache.
He had a fake mustache.
A fake mustache, and he lip synced.
What the hell is going on?
Right. Like, that should have at least gone to Bradley Cooper then, because he both starred in and directed A Star is Born.
I don't even know what that movie is.
It's with him and Lady Gaga. They actually won Best Original Song. And Sam Elliott's in it too, so that's the main reason. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to watch it because Sam Elliott's pretty badass.
He's totally a badass.
So yeah, I watched a little bit of the Academy Awards, but then this is the worst year. You normally at least know a handful of movies, like outside of Black Panther. I haven't seen any of the movies nominated. I actually, ironically enough, got Black Klansman on DVD in the mail today.
Yeah, no, I was looking at like an article about it because I figured we'd talk about it, and I had no idea what any of these movies were. I was like, wow, this is going to be very hard to talk about. I have no idea. I've not heard of these movies, not seen these movies. You know, how will I portray knowledge about this?
Fake it till you make it. But the funny thing about the Academy Awards is there's a lot of people I've heard talk about how they're not going to watch it because, you know, all the libtards in Hollywood and they're making movies political. And it's like, you know, movies pretty much always been political. You're just haven't always been that sensitive to it.
True.
You know, because even going back to like the original Rambo, like that was like an anti-war, treat our veterans better movie. Like that's super liberal. And it's Rambo killing people.
It is. Rambo does.
And the police and the police were the bad guy in the movie. Like if that movie came out today, like that movie would get shut down as being super social justice warrior. It was anti-war and anti-police.
True.
Social justice warriors, man, ruining movies. Speaking of ruining movies, Sean, you watched a documentary?
I accidentally watched a documentary. I was minding my own business, playing Destiny, per normal on my days off. And I was, you know, grinding in the forge, making weapons. And the lady watched a movie, a series called Affliction on Netflix. And it's about people that have chronic illnesses. And it's a 7-episode series. It's about 40 minutes to an hour long. per episode. It was very interesting because, like, you got, they interviewed, like, the person, doctors, the people around them. And it really goes into a lot of, like, you know, the stigma of people that have these chronic illnesses that can't really be explained, you know, and it goes into what the doctors think, what they think, and what their family members think. And there's, you know, there's a lot of tension, you know. Imagine, you know, taking care of an adult that you don't think is really sick. So there's a lot of tension. So they have a couple different stories. And the weird thing is they went over different things. And one of the ladies on the show, she said she doesn't do well with, like, the new technology. So, like, fluorescent lighting, Wi-Fi, you know, a couple other things. And, you know, you really feel like you feel bad for them. You feel bad for their family. Like, you know, you think of something as, like, as harmless as a peanut. Like, there is severe peanut allergies out there. You know, technology has grown vastly so and so fast. Like, we don't even know, really, like, the waves and the different things going on. Like, are they messing with our body? Now, don't get me mixed up. Like, I don't think, like, a cell phone is giving you brain cancer or anything. Like, I think it's, I think it's, like, a little overdone. But, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know. Like, if somebody's going to be allergic to something as simple as peanuts or aloe vera or something like that, like, why can't they have a reaction to these other forms of things that we come in contact every day?
Right. And that's the one thing, like, when you watch a documentary, that it's, even then, it's not unbiased, because the person making the documentary has an opinion, and they kind of, whether they do it intentionally or subconsciously, they kind of skew the information mm-hmm. towards the side that they favor.
Yeah, I definitely feel, in general, they, like, really tried to portray these people as sick, but, you know, at least they weren't afraid to get, like, family opinion of people thinking, like, it's fake. Like,
right.
They, like, at least they, like, acknowledged, like, the family members that were frustrated dealing with this shit, you know, and these people are, like, doing all these crazy tests, and, you know, they interview doctors, and they're, like, that test is, like, like, how is that even helping? Like, it doesn't make any sense scientifically. So, like, whether they pushed aside or not, they at least, like, were ballsy enough to, like, interview people that were against, like, the grain, you know, as far as, like, how the show went. It really felt like a couple of the people probably had, like, Lyme disease, which was overall interesting. And I feel like a couple of them, like, it wasn't in their head. Like, there was some kind of toxin that they weren't good with. But it was very interesting because, like, in some of the cases, I really felt that they were truly sick versus that, like, other people, like, it wasn't, it was just, like, mumbo jumbo. Like, it was just bullshit. So it's right. Very interesting because, like, I couldn't tell you, like, what side I feel like. It was more like case by case. And so it was a very interesting thing if you're interested in it. I mean, it does, there's multiple people, and every episode kind of goes, the first two episodes kind of tries to, like, introduce everybody, and then they kind of do updates and the different treatments, and then the last episode kind of talks about growth, like, how are they healing and how are they moving on from the sickness. The one key point that I will say that there was a lot of outcry for, there was a girl on there that was married and kicked her husband out because she couldn't be around him. And, you know, this goes into, like, the idea of, like, why people think, like, people are fake and this shit is fake. because she was like one of the people I didn't really believe. She came right. from South America and came up to America, and she was doing commercials, and she was acting in like Telemundo TVs and stuff, episodes out here, and would all those different Spanish channels that were going on, you know. And her husband like truly like loved her and like, you know, was doing whatever he could. Like, they racked up like $200,000 in medical bills. He was like, he was driving Uber after his job. Like, he had like a nice apartment for them, and he was like living with mom and dad. And like, you could just tell like the dad was just like, you need to tell her to toughen up. Like, this is bullshit. Like, she's ruined you financially. And at the end, like, he didn't even live with her for like 2 years, and she didn't want to like continue the relationship. And it was just like, and she like got mad at Netflix for portraying her as a villain. I was like, bitch, you made that decision. Like, what do you mean they portrayed? Like, you just flat out told your husband, who's working himself to death, to like help your problems, to like fuck off.
Right. It's like, you know, whenever somebody does something and then somebody else says, so you did this, this, and this. And then the person is saying, well, I mean, it sounds bad when you say it that way, and the person's like, what do you mean, what way? And they're like, out loud.
Right? Like, it was just, like, really ridiculous. Like, come on. Like, that's, like, that shit was pretty shitty. Like, this guy, like, did all this stuff for you, and then you're just gonna be like, let him go.
So, right.
But, it was an interesting documentary overall, though. I mean, like I said, it just kind of, like, it turned on, and then it just kind of hooked you in, because it was presented very well. They really tried to interview, like, everybody. They didn't, that was the nice thing. It didn't feel like it really had an agenda. I mean, I think overall, I think they tried to portray that there is chronic illnesses, and, you know, I think some of the, I truly feel like some of the people on the show did, like, were able to find some treatment, and they were able to, you know, generally get better. And they started, like, there was one guy that did music, and he helped, like, create a show that was getting picked up by Disney, and he couldn't do anything for it anymore, and he kind of dropped off, and he found treatment, and then he was able to kind of get better. And he generally, you know, in his case alone, it felt like there was progress made when they made better identification of maybe what was wrong with him. So,
right.
So it was kind of like, that was probably the overall agenda, but I appreciated the fact that, you know, they talked to people that thought, some doctors thought the treatments that these people were looking at getting from, you know, hipster areas was just kind of bullshit. And
right, and I've read quite a few stories on Reddit where someone will talk about how they've, you know, been living with chronic pain, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor's just like, oh, it's just something light, minor, something that, the doctor pretty much refuses to run a test. And then they go to a different doctor, and the doctor's like, okay, so what are your symptoms? And they tell them, and it's like, and how long have you been experiencing this? And they're like, all right, we're going to run tests on you right away, because it sounds like your previous doctor was a piece of shit. And come to find out they have some sort of, like, allergy or intolerance or, mm-hmm. you know, a cyst or something, you know, that's, like, needs to be taken care of or treated right away.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's, it is very different. Like, they talked about this place in West Virginia where a telescope is. It's like an ultra-powerful telescope, and they've literally written into law that there could be no cell phones or cell towers or, like, certain magnetic things, and within 10 miles of the telescope, because it messes with it. And, like, these people that feel like they're allergic or can't handle, like, like these electronic waves, like Wi-Fi and whatnot, are moving there because they feel better in that area. So it's like, you know, at one hand you feel like, oh, they're allergic to Wi-Fi, like that's really stupid. But then you like, if you try to like pull yourself out of it and go like, there's people allergic to peanuts, like,
right,
there's gotta, you know, like, you know, you don't want to just say something stupid like people are that's a thing, like people are allergic to Wi-Fi, but you have to look at it from like an overall thing, and it makes you, oh, at least it makes you think. Like some of it, I think some of the people were bullshitting, but it was very like an interesting perspective though. Like it was, I thought it was entertaining, and at least it caught my attention enough to watch the whole series, the whole 7 episodes.
Right, and that's something like a good documentary will do. It'll, you know, it'll make you think. It'll make you uncomfortable even, make you like, you know, feel a way that you hadn't thought of before. Like you said, you know, these people might be bullshit and faking it that they're allergic to Wi-Fi, or what if they are allergic? How is that hurting you if they decide to move to a place where Wi-Fi is not allowed?
Mm-hmm. No, it was definitely, it was at least thought-provoking, and it was interesting. I'll say that.
Right.
And it is afflicted, and it is on Netflix.
And right now, the documentaries, especially, you know, with everybody trying to get content, and documentaries seem to be the easy content between, you know, Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, and, you know, the Showtimes and HBOs and anybody else, because they just, at one of the film festivals, they paid somebody paid $10 million for a documentary about Anna Ocasio-Cortez's life, who's only been in like office for like 6 months.
Wow.
So
big money.
Exactly. I was, you know, as you're like talking, I was kind of like looking at some Academy Award stuff, and I came across this thing, and there's a guy showed up wearing a gown to the Academy Awards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a big deal about how it's the most, are these the most diverse Oscars ever? And it's like, oh my God, he's the first man to ever wear a gown to the Oscars. And Reddit was like, nope, he's the third man to wear a gown to the Oscars. And showed a picture of Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park when they were nominated for the Bigger, Longer, Uncut, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up to the Academy Awards in dresses.
Wow. Like hospital gowns or dresses?
Like ball gowns.
Gotcha.
And like one of them basically wore like a J-Lo dress where it's like a plunging neckline that went down to his belly button with his hairy chest.
That sounds like a thing they would do.
Yes. It really does. That's when they were nominated for Uncle Fucker. And as the, I think, I don't think they didn't sing that song. I know there was a controversy. I don't remember if they actually, but they had different artists, bands come out on stage and sing the songs that were nominated. Mm-hmm. And they were wondering, it's like, well, how are you gonna on national television in front of a live audience sing, you know, Shut Your Fucking Mouth, Uncle Fucker?
True.
But yeah, so, you know, definitely Affliction sounds like something worth checking into if you're a fan of the documentaries.
No, definitely. Like, I don't normally jump in and watch random things like that, but it was definitely at least entertaining enough to watch. I'll say that.
Definitely. Cool beans, man.
All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you for hanging out for another fantastic episode. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and all those fun different things. Danny, what a crazy afternoon with triggerness and whatnot.
Definitely. And don't forget, follow us on the Instagrams. We're on the Facebook. And, Sean, I made a discovery this week through iTunes.
What?
We actually have enough reviews to show up as officially like having a star rating.
Wow, look at us go. We are moving up in the world. It took 94 fucking episodes, but we are moving up. Some people move fast, but we are on the slow and steady track.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any Google ones. I can't look that. That'd be your job to check out the Google stuff, see if we have reviews there. But we have two reviews where they wrote something, and three additional where they just gave us star ratings. And we have, much to our satisfaction, we have pity reviews, Sean. Pity reviews.
You know what? Nobody. That's not a bad thing.
That is all five stars.
Not a bad thing.
We're at five stars, Sean.
Woo! Five out of five. I'll take
it. I just want to thank Sean's mom and dad for being two of them. And if they're not, then I'm going to guilt you into doing it because somebody has to.
Right.
I would say my parents, but my parents don't love me that much, so it's okay.
No, they don't. They really don't. I think they'd probably be offended by what happens.
Well, I think your mom might be a little bit too, but she still listens. And then the guy that I met with lunch, I was at the brewery talking to him. He said he was listening to the podcast, but then we didn't spend enough time talking about Destiny because that's the only thing he cared about.
Wow, do we really need to talk more about Destiny, huh?
Apparently, because he said, like, we talked about other games and movies and stuff, and he just wanted to play Destiny. That's the only game he wanted to play. But, sneak preview for next week, him and I have been playing a little bit of Anthem, so I'll be doing a full, bigger review of that. I haven't, didn't have much time to play, so I want to get a little bit further into the game before I, give my, opinions.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, like, it's not a we, it's a you have been playing.
I didn't say we, I didn't mean we as in you and me, I meant we as in me and the guy that listened to, up until we stopped talking about Destiny so much.
Oh, boy. I did acquire the new Super Smash Brothers, so maybe I'll try to play a little bit more. Maybe I'll give you my tale on what do I think about this crazy game that has so many characters, but Waluigi.
No Waluigi. No, somebody made a meme. Waluigi. Somebody made a meme about with there's a scene from the Academy Award where Spike Lee is like jumps into Sam Jackson's arms, mm-hmm. and he was wearing an outfit as an homage to Prince.
Yes.
But on Reddit they said when Waluigi's reaction, and is when he finds out he's not in Smash and seeking comfort from Nick Fury. All right, everybody. See you next week.